This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome to Remarkable Results Radio. Carm Capriotto here, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts. Hey, so glad you're here as we bring you informative, relatable, and relevant topics that you can use immediately. You know, employee reviews, we've all been there. You get called into the boss's office and you get graded on your performance over the last year. It can be easy to forget your review once you leave the office. Out of sight, out of mind, for over a year. Now, isn't it time to change that mundane process? In this episode, my panel discusses a transformational approach to owners to deepen their relationship with their employees. Let them be part of the process and your business and see how it can flourish. We are talking transformational coaching. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, Shopware and Broadly, for bringing you this episode. When was the last time you ordered something online? A burger from Grubhub, your groceries from Amazon. How about things that are really high tech, like auto repair? Shopware's online, interactive repair orders lets your customers do just that. Check it out for yourself on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, what's the one thing that top auto shops like Urban Auto Care have that sets them apart from the rest? Well, hundreds of five-star Google reviews, literally. You could have this too on the web at getbroadly.com, getbroadly.com/chat. Another great episode to bookend with this topic is episode 625, Employee Review Process with Brian Kelly. Great episode. Head to my website, remarkableresults.biz, for a listen or scroll up in your listening app. Welcome to my great panel, my guests. It starts off with Patrick McHugh from Bimmer Rescue, Richmond, Virginia. Hello, Patrick.
Thanks for having me, Carm. Thanks for having me on. This is awesome.
And hey, buddy, you brought me this topic, so you're on the bubble, baby. This is going to be great. David Asquith is with us, the managing director, AutoStream Car Care, 6 locations.
Nice to see you guys.
And John Klosterman, right? Did I say that right, John?
Yeah, Klosterman.
Klosterman. Yes, sir. Cool. Director of Operations, Westside Auto Group in Zeeland, Michigan, with three places.
Excited to be here. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be. Thank you so much. These guys, I know what they're going to talk about. It's going to be great. It may be life-changing, not only from a leader's perspective, but it could be life-changing for the receptor. You know, everybody listens to this show. You just don't have to be a shop owner, but a service advisor. Everyone who listens is a leader at some point in their careers. So, guys, transformational coaching. I'm sure you wouldn't be here, and Patrick wouldn't have made said, "Hey, Carm, you need to be aware of this. A lot going on inside of our industry with this," and they're all part of the Transformers coaching group, and so that's why they're all here. Patrick, where'd you learn about this, and how did it come to be, and how did you accept it?
All three of us here are part of the Transformers Institute, which is a coaching group that I've been part of for a couple of years now that has really changed my life. And it's been a really, really cool place to be to share ideas. There's lots of coaching groups out there, but this one definitely has something special. And one of those special things is a special person named Dan Taylor, who has been my coach and has coached some of my people. And Dan Taylor is just one of these larger than life guys that has a magnetic personality. And I've seen him probably three times in my relationship with him actually physically get up on top of a table and stomp his feet because he's so passionate about something. And it's usually when it's something he's passionate about that he's been saying for years and nobody's doing. And then somebody's complaining about a problem they're having that would literally be solved if they would just do this one thing. And transformational coaching was one of those things. And when Dan Taylor gets on the table and stands there at great risk to himself and others, I write it down and put a circle and a star around it. So I started doing it and it's been really cool. And that's why I prompted you to do this show.
Patrick and I did an episode a while back on where the money goes. And if you're learning how to be larger than life, and Dan Taylor was one of those guys, there's some value in what I call making noise and being larger than life. Now, I've interviewed Dan Taylor three times. So just go to my website, type in Dan Taylor. We did a whole bunch of stuff on emotional intelligence, and he's really big on that. And I'm sure you guys know all about that. And that was one of the best weeks I spent years ago in a seminar on emotional intelligence. Wow. This is where our industry has to head, guys. You know, we've got to be closer to our people. We have to be the kind of place people want to come to work for. We can't be hard and stoic and corporate-y and ivory tower. We have so much opportunity, and there's a lot of great people to hire out there, but we have to do it differently. So thank you so much for that. David, you've got a big operation. How many reports do you have?
Well, I have 11 direct reports, and we have 53 employees today, Carm.
So that poses you, as the leader of that group, a huge challenge on how to keep the group together.
Part of what we do is we do annually this emotional intelligence where we have each employee filling out their review and basically what are they trying to accomplish? What were they excited about their accomplishments? What was their misses? What did they want to do better but did not achieve last year? And versus the traditional corporate background where we come from, where, hey, I'm exclusively rating them and measuring them only on results. Now we get their feedback on how they feel they do. And more importantly, what are their goals and what are they trying to achieve in the next year versus us just telling them, here's how you did and here's what we want you to do moving forward. It is much more all-encompassing for everybody versus more talking at the employee on the corporate structure. It's talking with the employee on the emotional structure.
You know, when we were in backstage, I was sharing with our panel, when I worked for corporate America and how much I hated, I mean, I owned a business and I did reviews with my people. And then I went to work for corporate America and it was 1, 2, 3, rate yourself 1, 2, 3. And I thought I was at 2.5. And it was so subjective, guys. And I was frustrated. But when you're working for a really large company and they have all these SOPs and structure, I found it very difficult. Can you imagine me trying to fit in to what they're doing? John, a question. Was it a tough, difficult to switch from what you were doing to this transformational leadership?
No, not at all. I mean, there was the process to move from where we were to transformation coaches was very simple for, especially for our team members. But the reason that we more or less moved to it was because we were trying to find a way to do the quote unquote review process that emulated or mirrored what we were doing as an organization as far as culture, team-based, group-oriented goals. And we wanted to have the review process as we sat across from the table from someone be more of a let's sit on the same side of the table and look at how we can move forward together on this, as opposed to like you were talking about the 1, 2, 3, the survey style review process where very few people get a 5 on the review because, well, that means that there's no room to grow. What we're looking for is what is the team member looking to do moving forward, and how can we associate that and culturally fit that into our organization and what our goals are as a team. When we moved to this, I actually was talking to Dan about it, and he said, well, why don't you try this? And it's been a fantastic transition into this style process as we continue to move into this. This will be the second year that we've done this. It makes the review process go so much better. There's so much more content involved.
What kind of feedback are you getting from your people?
They feel more part of the organization's processes and they have more control over their own growth, as opposed to sitting on the other side of the table and saying, hey, you need to work on these three things. Well, I remember being in that seat. You walk out of that review and you go, well, did I get a raise or not? That's what this comes down to. I mean, that's what you remember about the review process. But now they have stuff that they've brought to the table that they've been able to contribute, and we're working on it together as opposed to the point-and-shoot style review process. So
you bring up such a great point. Did I or didn't I get a raise? And okay, all right, you can drag me kicking and screaming in the office after I may have completed a personal review and then I have a peer review, and then we have to argue over the midway point, if you will, because now because you're selling your butt off so that you could get cost of living, It's pretty ugly. Patrick, you were telling me about people writing their own story. And I love that idea where this is what I'm doing here. And this is my path.
That's right. And, you know, I hate to say it this way, but I only have so much energy and so much in my day, right? Like I can only devote so much power to pushing people and to making them go in certain directions. And I really have found that if I just let somebody write their own story, tell me what ultimately they want to do, and then act as a coach walking alongside them, holding them accountable to what they've said they wanted, they'll push their own cart farther than I could ever push it. I've moved forward with people and tried to force square pegs in round holes, and it takes just a lot of energy, right? And if I can just let the person write their own story and make it my job to go in front of them and open doors so they can just move along, I think it works a lot better. And one of the things I've heard a lot, reasons people are leaving a dealership or another shop to come work for me, that they haven't been listened to, or they don't think management has a good grip on what's really going on. They don't feel like management is listening. They don't feel like they can really affect change in the business. And this is 100% that. It's a lot of listening.
I want to engage all of you on probably the single biggest leadership trait you could have is to be a great listener.
One thing I wanted to share, a story that happened with the traditional model versus this catalytic coaching. So about 3 years ago, I had a very high-powered service manager who was in the dealership for 40 years. And under the old model, all we would do was, if your numbers weren't where they needed to be, then you needed improvement or you were unacceptable. And I remember very specifically telling this person that he needs improvement. And in my mind, and based upon the numbers, that was true. Well, he never came to accept that. And at the end of the day, that opened the door for him to pursue other opportunities, which was go back to the dealership. Now, the good news on that story is now that person is back with us because the dealership and their work-life imbalance brought him back. But had we'd had this model before, and where it was more interactive versus putting a grade on what their performance was, I would have never lost them in the first place.
I would say I have similar stories that David has as far as that goes. But one thing that comes to mind is when I was still in the service as the service manager in our original store, there was a team member that we didn't see eye to eye very often. We continually butted heads on different topics, and we eventually sat down, and a lot of I just sat and listened more or less, and a lot of the stuff that he was bringing up was stuff that, had I known earlier, some of the issues that he had were very easily rectified. But if we had done that sooner, we would have gone through the 6-month process where there was day in and day out where there was constant tension from one side of it to the other. And sitting down and just listening and unpackaging what people have, listening to what they have to say, and then asking questions deeper and asking the why questions, unpackaging what their true motives are, that's been a huge part of that process as well. So
glad to hear that. Patrick, I want to go back to you on this whole listening thing. They don't teach us a course on listening in high school, maybe college, they're starting to do it. Maybe in an MBA degree, there's more on communication. But so many of us in the industry can learn how to be a better listener, confirming and clarifying and really empathetic listening. I mean, you really want to be there and you want to feel the excitement, you want to feel the pain of that individual. Share with us how that is helping you.
Yeah, that's been a huge part of this. Something that I've learned personally from this whole process is how to maybe listen a little bit better. Something I struggle with my whole life in my relationships and in my company. And John said the word, he said unpacking, right? I've done these input sheets. So the very first part of the process starts with an input sheet where you give the employee a blank sheet and they have to fill out certain things. What are my accomplishments? What are my disappointments? What's my personal growth? What do I want to do in the next year, 5 years, ultimately? These are big questions, right? And I've had answers such as, well, I want to grow myself in the company. And it's our job to unpack that. What things do you like to grow in the best? What what areas bring you the most joy? What part of your job do you think, if you learn how to do it better, would benefit you and us and everybody? What do you have? What brings you joy? Digging into those questions, I used to think that listening meant just being quiet, but really you're guiding the person. You're helping them unpack and helping them let some of these feelings, sometimes of which are highly emotional, out on the table. And you'll see in my coaching sheets, there's a lot of the team members writing, but there's a lot of mine too, circling things, putting stars next to them, honing in on words that they say and kind of tearing them apart a little bit with the employee. That's extremely important. If you can't do that, this process, I think, can be counterproductive.
You know, Patrick, you cannot forget about what you circled. You cannot forget about what you asked as you confirmed and clarified, and you got deeper and you went further. And I guess if I was your employee, team member, and you were really drilling down and doing some great stuff with me, and I was opening up, probably maybe could be the first time in my entire work career, to my boss, my supervisor. And I thought about it when I was done. And I said, wow, I've never told those dreams or aspirations or challenges that I have in life to somebody I worked for. I never did it. I wonder if he'll remember. I wonder if he'll do anything about it. And if you don't, then it was a futile exercise, and you won't get the kind of performance improvement in that individual, personal improvement, if you ignore it. You have to own it, right?
Yep. And once I wrote it down and circled it and put a star next to it, I also signed my name on it, Patrick McHugh. And that's a contract between me and that person now. This particular individual, her name's Paola, one of my favorite people in the world. She's told me this stuff before in passing and in fun while we're joking around, but this is real. We wrote it down. We both signed it. And I put a big star next to what she wants to do. And she's on that course now. It's that simple.
Okay, team, you're doing transformational coaching. All these great tactics are working. You are 100% bought in. You know how much it's going to help your business, your people. Can you tell us any stories of the follow-up that was part of the discovery process?
Well, I think one of the great things, we've talked about goal posters in our organization for years. We're huge in that. That's not groundbreaking, but it's important, knowing what their dreams and visions are. Doug, who you know very well, tells a story that one of our guys ended up buying their first house. And when we're out and about, they're coming up and they're like, they just couldn't wait to tell us that they were buying their first house. And, you know, that's a huge win because they know we're excited for them. And Doug, even the other night, says, hey, that was one of the biggest moments in my career, was knowing that someone was able to achieve those goals.
We have an individual in our organization that he had, no one in his family had ever been to college or purchased a home. And similar story to what David is talking about, but through some coaching and working with him with a local college, we were able to get him enrolled and help him through the process of going through the college program and getting his certification in the automotive program in the local community college. And then he, a few years later, was able to buy a home. And it's just huge wins for him individually, but we were just glad to be a part of it along the way. It's just being able to walk alongside him as he went through all those steps. They're his individual wins, but we were able to be a part of it. And that's the cool part.
So one of the other interesting things, and this is kind of in conjunction with the topic, is what does somebody see themselves doing in their career? And I'm very fortunate that in my organization, I have six people that have multi-unit experience. So the one would think, okay, why are they a service director at a location? Why they had more responsibility? Why don't they want more today? And what this process really allowed us to understand is, hey, there's a lot of reasons why people don't want to work the weekends. They don't want the long hours. They don't want that type of stuff. They want to be highly compensated, but they're also willing to help more. And by finding that out, by asking them, hey, what are you really looking for yourself? Hey, David, I just want to be there available for you. I can do more. You just tap me on the shoulder if you need anything. And that's really helped utilize the skill sets that we have in the organization, knowing that, hey, they don't want to be territory managers again. They don't want to be area managers again. They want to run one store, but they're willing to help in any capacity we need. And being able to harness that experience only came through the catalytic coaching type of experience, understanding what they want for themselves.
Carm here, and coming up, Patrick shares an inspirational success story about one of his employees, thanks to this unique review process. Are you stuck in small ticket rut? Well, that's exactly what happened to Dominic Linden and the team at Autobahn Service in Sheffield, Massachusetts. With the busy day-to-day bustle of shop operations, they didn't have time to chase customers for approval. They were caught in a cycle of low AROs, and they were losing those higher ticket jobs to competitors. Autobahn Service was introduced to Shopware, and just a few months after going live, the shop was so busy with new jobs that they actually needed to lower their car count. They are now able to be selective with the services they take on, and profits have never been better. Additionally, by tapping into Shopware's digital estimating capabilities, Autobahn Service has noticed an 89% average approval rate from customers. Their average RO before Shopware was $450, and now it's up to $700. Now, that's a 55% increase. Do the math. Reach your customers faster and get approved dollars up. GetShopware.com. Do you lie awake at night wondering why your competitors have hundreds of five-star reviews, but you only have a few? What's one thing that top auto shops like Urban Auto Care have that sets them apart from the rest? Well, it's hundreds of five-star Google reviews. Literally, you could have this too. When do you ask for a review? Well, there's actually an optimal time to ask your client for an online review. According to Broadly, the best time to ask for a review is immediately after a service. They know. Think about it. That's when the experience is fresh, the vehicle looks good, and you've just satisfied their needs for safe and reliable transportation. Lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space. Rest easy with Broadly, which gets you more online reviews and more people coming into your shop. On the web at getbroadly.com/chat to start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Remember I told you about my story of reviews and how I absolutely dreaded it? And I actually dreaded it, you know, doing it for my own people because they dreaded the assigning numbers. And in order for us to send it up to HR, we all had to behave. We ought to play the game. Anybody ever come up to you, David, and says, man, this is a cool way to help my career?
I think specifically, because we would review the text as well, not just the management side. And I think the text dreaded it as much as anybody. And as we're going through the process, it was great to hear the technicians talk about the difference in the styles. And they actually looked forward to having the discussion versus dreading coming into the room where we're having the discussion. So I think you have to know your audience in a big way. And Carm, you know, from your background or my background, hey, on the management side, you understood the old style of the corporate review structure, but the technicians in most cases have never had a review. And so I think they were really encouraged by the open dialogue versus, hey, you do this well, but guess what? You don't do this well. And they didn't take that criticism well in the past, some of them, but had nothing but positive feedback from this. And we've been doing it now that we're going on our third year as well.
So, guys, a question about the semantics of this. People are listening, and they're going to listen to this episode for a long, long time after we repurpose it next Thursday. Not only listen, but watch it. And they said, do I have to really go through an entire class on transformational coaching? What do I have to do? Or can I just sit down with my people and talk about training, education, opportunities, what their future is in the business, start, change, open, communicate. And then while you're going to get some training to make this smarter and better. But, you know, I think that's one of the things that we're lacking. We're just not talking enough about, well, What are you struggling with? Well, there's some new technology coming out on these cars and I don't understand it. Well, thanks. Let's get you a class.
I learned it from this group, right? And it was important for me to hear the process, to see it, to feel it before I did it. Because the last thing I wanted to do was fire this process on my people and have it backfire or have it not feel genuine or not be genuine, right? Like I had to believe that this could work before I could do it. And that's, I think, what holds a lot of people back. But let me share just a quick story of a success in our shop and how this worked. And hopefully that can convince some people. So Paola is one of my, one of our employees at the shop. She started last October. She came in as a CSR. So we needed somebody to answer the phone, to run cars here and there, to wash cars, to do all the stuff that the service advisors didn't have time to do and assist the manager. And that's what she came in as. And she very quickly proved that she had a lot more to her than just that role. And we finally got to this process. And I just showed you. You can tell, by the way, how in-depth somebody is by how much writing there is on this page. And she filled the whole dang page out front and back.
Did that impress the hell out of you? I mean, did you say, whoa, what's this?
Well, listen, here's the deal. Like, I sell this to my people as you can make this whatever you want it to be. If you don't give me the sheets back at all, I'm not going to fire you. I'm not going to look down on you. It's just going to be a little harder for me to coach you and help you along, right? If you want to go head first into it, I'll run head first with you. I'm only going to push as hard as you're going to push with this. But she leaned into it. It talks about what she set out to do in the past, since October. Disappointments, growth. And this is where the rubber hits the road. Where do you want to be in the next year? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to end your career? We talk about all that and we have a big long meeting where we unpacked everything that she said. And you saw it here. She told me she wants to be in charge and I circled it and put stars. She said she wants to be able to visit other shops to see how others do it in the industry. I circled it. I put stars. And then we basically came up with some goals. All right, so you want all that. What do you need to get there? In my shops, to be in charge, you need to be a driver of sales. You need to be the best salesperson in the world. You need to be able to sell every repair, every time, and a master of consultative style. So I told her, all right, here's your goals. If you want to really run my store, you need professional sales training. So guess where we're going this Sunday? To Jason Servideo's 4-day sales training class. Goal checked, done. Start doing some sales. I want to do one sale a day. We're going to hand you the easier cars, the newer cars, the ones where the clients are repeat clients. In your name, you're going to have me by your side or the manager by your side. You're going to make some sales. Guess what she's done since August? $75,000 at a $1,100 ARO with a 70% close rate. She's killing it. She's got it.
Without the training.
That's before the class.
Oh my God, there's a cool measure you're going to end up with, huh?
Learn how to do a safety check. So learn how to evaluate a car. She missed this goal. We were supposed to do it by the beginning of the month, but we've just been so busy. So I'm chasing her right now. I'm being her accountability partner on that goal. Hey, when are you going to learn that? When are you going to go in the shop? When are you going to learn how to check tires? Listen to 5 Carmcasts. We couldn't send her to 5 different shops. So I said, what's the next best thing? I'll pick 2 that I really want you to listen to, and then you pick 3, and she's done it. She's knocked out 3 of her 5 goals already. This is somebody who's simply, I'm opening doors, and she's running through them. And I believe in her, and she believes in herself, and she will achieve her goal. It's a really fun story.
That is such a great example, guys.
And she's listening right now, by the way. Everybody say hi to Paola.
Oh my God, that's great. So here's my takeaway with that, guys, because I'm always learning when I'm on these town halls too. A message to the team member, be honest, be transparent. Don't hold anything back. We want to know.
And it comes down to unpackaging, like what Patrick talked about a little bit more earlier, is understanding the person, understanding what drives them, what is their goal at the end of the day. So the first time we did this, I was 6 months into my current position, and we went through the process, and I sat down with all the service managers and did this process with them, and every single one of them on their goal wrote down in 1 to 5 years they wanted my job. And I was looking at it going, well, first off, I've been here 6 months. Where am I going? And where are you guys expecting me to leave to? But more importantly, as we started unpackaging it, as we started diving into why they wanted it, they all wanted it for different reasons. Some of them wanted flexibility in their schedule. Some of them wanted to, it was about compensation. Some of them, and another one, it was about the title. So they, it came down to direct or completely different things across the board for all of them. And at the end of the day, it wasn't necessarily the job. It was parts of it, parts of things that drove them specifically. So getting to know those things about those individuals could help us set our goals as we moved forward and to see what they wanted to do and realistically do in the next 1 to 5 years and help us attain those goals for them.
That was one of the things this process does help with, and I love seeing Patrick's sheet because it reminds me a lot of ours, is it takes the rigid part out of the review process as well. And what I mean by that is historically, we would want these things to be typed up and it's all about the professionalism of the presentation and just know your audience. And the more they've written, to Patrick's point, the more exciting it is. So right away, it doesn't have to be typed up, and it's all about what's in the content, not how the content is presented.
There's another little rainbow I just thought about here. I always talk about rainbows popping out from under the rock when you lift it up. I had a, I've been interviewing heavily recently for a technician position, and I had one guy ask me, how can I elevate here, or what, how can I grow in your company? And I was able to very proudly explain this entire process for how we elevate people and how we grow people. Write your own story. That's something I'm going to be putting in my my ads for employment. Yeah. Do you want to write your own story? This is a feature of our company that we do the transformational coaching process. This is a selling feature if you want to work here, in my opinion.
I love that. I mean, I think that's a huge takeaway from this episode. Write your own story. Let it appear in the ads. Let it appear in any conversation that you have with the person, phone or in person. I love that show. You don't have to be a huge multi-shop operator to have opportunity. And I think, guys, you know, Patrick, you're a great example. You are going to grow. I mean, part of your strategic goals is to have more stores, but right now you're a single shop. If you never grew, what are the opportunities for your people?
Yeah, it's endless. I mean, Paula has proven that it doesn't matter what you have coming in. It doesn't matter what experience you have. If you have the attitude and the drive and the desire to learn, you could run my store. You could be the manager. You could do whatever you really ultimately aspire to be. That's a really powerful message in today's time.
You know, there are single shop owners out there that have COOs, one store, because the owner realized one of the things that he needed to do was to get up and get out, more work in the business than on it. So that all that responsibility that you would have as an owner in all these, you know, focused, micromanaged areas of your life, you want to get up and out, you need to bring someone on to help you. Well, there is a growth opportunity inside the company. Well, guys, there's no way we can do justice to the whole move of transformational coaching. But I think this was an elixir, if you will, hopefully a push for some guys that will want to search this out. I got on the web and I did some research. Pages and pages and pages and pages and seminars and articles all about this. And I think you really helped, as far as the automotive aftermarket, sum this up. I'm sure each of you could go on and tell stories and stories of how this best worked. What I'd like to know from somebody, and we'll go around the room, we'll put a bow on this, we'll call it last call. When you sit down with a new employee, John, Patrick, David, and you do this, I mean, do you talk for a half hour of how unique and different this thing was? And I feel so a part of a team because you're bringing empathetic listening in. You're talking about, you know, goals of theirs, not what they did, but what they're going to do. And what can you share to convince the audience that there needs to be, number one, reviews, but not the old way, the new way, and what the outcomes would be?
It has to be sold to you, right? And sometimes in life, you just got to look around, stand before your coaches, stand before the people who are where you want to be, And when they stand on tables and yell, listen and write it down and put a star by it. Sometimes you just got to listen to what your coaches and your coaching groups are saying. Give it a try. And that's what I chose to do. Dan Taylor taught me this. Dan Taylor has been doing this coaching stuff for 20 plus years. He's worked for FedEx. He's worked for companies that spend millions, if not billions, in growing their people. Why not give it a try? So that's what I did.
Thanks, Patrick. Please go out to the web, my website, or scroll through your listening app under the show and find Dan Taylor. We did three great episodes on emotional intelligence. So thank you very much. John, how about you?
Going back to what Patrick said, when the people that surround you that you look at and say, okay, these people have been through the ringer, they know what they're talking about. When they tell you to do something, you listen. But my favorite thing about this whole process that's came about is when you sit down and you go through the coaching process with teammates or team members, and you start looking at setting goals specifically, what we found is a lot of the teammates start setting goals that reflect their personal life and what they want to be personally, professionally, and they all kind of mesh together. And my favorite part is Westside or our repair organizations get to be a part of those goals personally. And as we set goals for them professionally, they start to lead where their personal goals are going as well. So we get to be kind of a part of an inner mesh of what they are and who they are as a person and their family life and their working life. And it all works together. And you get to see kind of behind the curtain of the people that you work with every day that you maybe wouldn't get to see otherwise. So it's just been a lot of fun to learn.
You know, people in our industry continue to talk about mouths to feed. And I think that's so critical. The responsibility that you as an owner that has a team, say it's six, say it's 10 people. And in your case, David, 53. And those are not only those mouths to feed that the business has to run well, but then they all have families, you know, significant. There's that extended family that gets, you know, up and out and shows the kinds of responsibilities not only do you have to your business and your customer, but more importantly, your people. Because what's the story? Take care of your people and they will take care of your customer. Was this uncomfortable to do? You know, we're going to go back and we're going to make a really big change in this. Was it uncomfortable, tough to do?
You got to warm up to this, right? Pick the person in your shop that you might be already pretty comfortable with and let them be your first guinea pig, so to speak, on this. And then work around the shop from there. If anybody would ever like some coaching on this process, I'd be happy to talk with you offline about it. But pick somebody you're already comfortable with and go with them first and then go from there. Honestly, if you talk about it right and if you explain why we're doing this, I don't think it should matter. You should be able to do it with anybody in your company. We do make a disclaimer in this that says, listen, I might share some of this with other people in the company that I need to share it with. For example, I need to share a lot of what Powell is up to with the manager because he's directly responsible for scheduling the class and for getting her, you know, the resources she needs. But if there's ever anything personal, ever anything that you really would prefer stay between us, I will flip the paper over and we're not going to write that down. And I will, as long as it's not illegal or morally wrong, I will honor that and we can keep it between us.
So you're talking about honoring confidentiality.
Right.
Would you step to the plate and figure out how to help?
Absolutely. If they wanted that. Yes, absolutely. We can do a goal off the paper, off the books if they need that. Absolutely.
Good stuff, guys. David?
Well, Carm, what I would say is I love to sell, but I'm not going to put my sales hat on for this portion. I'm going to challenge everyone who's listening, which is if you are a leader, then you must encourage feedback. And we talk about 360 feedback and all that type of stuff, and give your people the audience to, in a professional environment, to give you the feedback that they so much want to give you. And for all the leaders out there, make sure you give your people that audience, and this is a great way to allow that for everybody.
I learned a lot myself, and I do believe we set up a legacy episode for people to listen to turn the corner from number one, to do reviews. Number two, do not do a review of, you know, is it 1 through 5, and you know, and do a task. We don't want to know how well you turn a wrench. We want to know how you are a contributor to the team. Thanks so much, Transformational Coaching. Great episode. Patrick McHugh, Bimmer Rescue in Richmond, Virginia. David Asquith, Managing Director, AutoStream Auto Care, 6 locations in Maryland. And John Klosterman, Director of Operations, Westside Auto Group, Zeeland, Michigan, with 3 locations. Guys, you nailed it. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.